They're joined by a starting pitcher for the White Sox. He is an all-star. 3-2. ERA at 3.14. 66 strikeouts. He pitched the first no-hitter of his MLB career on August 25th. He was the 16th pick overall back in the 2012 draft. He is the pride of Harvard Westlake. Chicago at Kansas City this evening, 8:05 Eastern. Lucas Giolito is my guest. Lucas, it's great to have you back. It's been about a year since you and I last spoke. How you doing? What is life like for you right now, Lucas?
How's it going, Jim? I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm just hanging out at the team hotel here in Kansas City, about to get on the bus for our second game of the series.
Well, I'm glad you can mix this in before you got on that bus. It's great to have you back.
Yeah.
Listen, I want to talk to you about the team as a whole. But before we do that, you got to take me back to last Tuesday. I mean, before that game, did you know you had something special in you? Did you feel any different than you normally would?
I wouldn't say that I felt like particularly different or special or anything like that. I definitely put a little more thought into and kind of revamped my pregame starting routine about one start before, and the results kind of showed there. I felt a lot more prepared going into my start, felt good in that one. So I just kind of wanted to carry that same energy, and luckily it turned into something special.
All right, so what point in that game did you start to think, you know what, there is something special going on here?
I'd say probably sixth inning is when I really started to notice it. And then after completing the seventh inning, I looked at it and we got six more outs to get. This is very, very doable. So let's go make it happen.
Lucas Giolito is joining us. You know, I wonder, like, that ninth inning, I understand there's a pro athlete, part of your training and part of your makeup and part of your deal is to learn how to stay calm and manage your emotions. But what was that ninth inning like? Were you fighting your emotions, and how'd you get the best of them?
No, I wouldn't say I was fighting any emotions. The adrenaline was definitely the highest it's ever been pitching. But I felt relatively in control. I felt very confident because of everything that kind of led up to that ninth inning. But it's funny, when I look back at the game and I saw some of the pitches I was making in the ninth, it's like, oh man, I got a little bit lucky. Got a little bit lucky at some certain points in that inning.
I want to talk to you about that in 1 second, but I want to ask you this. Lucas Giolito, my guest, your catcher James McCann was talking about how he had been with Justin Verlander and he had taken a no-hitter into the ninth and was broken up on a fastball, so he wanted to start working in some sliders in the ninth. What did you make of that plan, and how good did your slider feel to you in the ninth?
My slider was great in the ninth. I was able to get ahead of guys with it. I think the second out of the inning, I actually hung one like at the top of the zone, but I got a pop-up. I mean, I think that with the last guy that we faced, we went slider, swing, miss. Maybe we should have just kept throwing that until we got another swing and miss. It would have been a little less crazy at the end there.
That's it. That guy was Eric Gonzalez, and you went slider, 0-2. Then he hits that fastball to right field. What kind of thoughts did you have as that ball left the bat?
That was a tough one. That pitch was probably supposed to be about 3 feet over his head, and it ended up getting – I pulled it right back into the zone. It was still at the top of the zone, but it wasn't where we wanted it. So it was one of those ones where I saw him swing. I saw him barrel up the ball. I saw it come off of the bat with high velocity to right field, and it immediately – was like, oh no, I'm that guy. I went 8 2/3 and gave it up. But then I turned to my left, and Adam Engel is positioned perfectly, amazing jump on the ball, and secures the catch.
God, that's such a great description. I mean, what an amazing game that was, no matter what. But you're right. If you imagine go 8 2/3, not only 8 2/3, but 8 2/3 and 0-2 on a dude, and it got away. I mean, there are worse things that could happen, but that's probably not something you wanted to wear. How good did it feel to know you had Adam Engel back there behind you, though, to pick you up?
Oh, amazing. Adam made that one play, which obviously sealed the deal. Then there were a few others throughout the course of the game. They talk about that like one or two plays in a no-hitter. I think we had a few of them, to be honest. And basically, the defense behind me was spectacular, top to bottom. The routine plays, the amazing plays, those guys, they did an unbelievable job.
So, Lucas, if we were to go back, don't get on the bus just yet, but if we were to go back, like 2018 might not have gone the way you would have liked from a statistical standard, but last year was a massive improvement across the board. So what was the biggest difference for you between 18 and 19?
A couple things. I made a lot of changes to my way I deliver the ball, the way I pitch, shortened up my arm action, did a lot of work on kind of fixing my lower half mechanics, like learning how to drive down the mound properly so I can be more consistent. But I'd say the biggest change was kind of finding my confidence, finding my focus, being able to be more consistent with my routine, kind of putting myself in a position to be successful on a more often basis, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, it does. I love that. I love hearing guys like you talk about things mechanically, but I like that second part of that even more. You had a great quote. You said, quote, "I had to get my ass kicked and learn from failure and go make the changes I needed to make to realize my full potential." That I love that line. I think that's a lifeline as much as it is a baseball line. Here's my question. If you're getting your ass kicked, how hard is it to not get rattled, maintain your confidence and belief that it's going to be fine? I just need to put the work in.
It's very difficult. I had a whole year of that in 18, and I definitely let it get to me. There was points in that season where it felt like I was searching for a mechanical change, searching for confidence in that bases loaded situation. But it doesn't happen until you kind of truly believe that it can, until you kind of own how good you are, whatever it is you do. I mean, this applies to everything, not just being a pitcher, but owning how good you are, what you can, what you do, and then being able to find a way to improve. For me, it took like completely exiting my comfort zone. I mean, I shortened my arm action to the point where it's like I feel like an infielder. Did all sorts of weird, different things as far as mental training, focus training, but I wouldn't change anything now. I really think that it took me going through that hard time and really making those big changes to be able to be where I am now.
See, to me, it's so impressive. It's so interesting because you made the changes that you did the hard work on yourself mechanically and mentally. Really quickly, for those who know you know the story about Ethan Katz, but for those who don't, who is he and what did you learn from him over the year?
Yeah, Ethan and I are very, very close. So, I mean, it starts back in high school. He was my pitching coach in high school, starting my sophomore year. That's when he came aboard. And, I mean, he kind of took me as a lanky 15-year-old kid that could throw really hard and kind of molded that guy into a pitcher. And, we've been close ever since. I've been working with him for years and years and years now. He actually is the assistant pitching coach of the San Francisco Giants. So his work is being recognized. He's now coaching at the highest level possible, which is very much well deserved. He's very, very good at his job. So, yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I kind of went to that off season after 18. He had been trying to suggest a few things for me to change, for a few things to work on over the years, and I was kind of being stubborn, but I ended up going back to him, and we got to work, and we were able to put some things together.
Great story. One last thought. You're a half game out of first. This is a team that had a 10-win improvement last year. Now you're battling for a divisional title. How much fun is it to be contending in September and playing on a team with this kind of talent?
Oh, it was so much fun. I said the other day after my game, it's the most fun I've ever had playing baseball. But there's no lie there. Playing meaningful games, playing the game to win every single night, there's nothing better. For me, I'm a big-time competitor. That's what I care about most, whether I'm competing against another team or myself or whatever it is. I'm all about that competition and trying to win. And so now we're able to do that at the highest level. It just adds a whole nother level of excitement. But I think that our team is very capable of doing it. We're having a lot of fun, and we're winning a lot of games. So that's pretty much the plan moving forward.
He is an all-star. He had a no-hitter on August 25th. He was the 16th pick overall, as I mentioned, the pride of Harvard-Westlake, Lucas Giolito, back on the program. Lucas, I appreciate you, man. Great to get caught up. Congrats on the no-no, and really nice to talk some baseball and life with you today, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure.
You too, Lucas. Thanks for making time. I appreciate you. I appreciate everybody, every athlete, coach, anybody else who makes time for the program. And he did so right before getting on the bus. You know, there were so many things to take away from that. But he just said, I'm having more fun playing baseball right now than ever before. This during the pandemic, in a shortened season, in a really unusual year.